Well, good morning, everybody.
Morning.
You're glad to be here up in God's house today. Say amen.
Amen.
We want to have a word of prayer. Then we're going to take some announcements and do some singing. Brother Sammy, you come and pray for us, brother.
Let's pray. Padre Santo, Señor, gracias te damos, Dios, porque tú nos das, Señor, el privilegio de estar aquí esta mañana, Señor. Gracias por tus bendiciones, tu cuidado, Señor. Thank you, Lord, for this opportunity to be here this morning. We can be here to glorify you, to worship you. Thank you for all your blessings. Thank you for my family that is better health. Thank you for my brothers and sisters. And we pray for everyone that is hurt, sick, that you will heal and you will. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen.
Amen. Thank you very much. We are not, Cindy is not here today, so we won't be having children's church, but the kids, 3 and under, will be heading back over there after we do some singing. So we'll have the nursery, but we don't have children's church today. And anything else? Yes, ma'am.
Good morning.
Morning.
My precious wife has asked me to tell y'all to please keep praying for her. Her scans have shown no new cancer, no growth of the old cancer. We want to praise God for that. We want to thank you for your prayers and ask you to continue to please pray for us.
Amen.
And for those involved in Children's Church, I want to tell you, yes, a couple days ago when she opened that card from y'all, it took her breath away. That was the most precious thing that happened to her in a long time, and she wanted me to express her heartfelt thanks to you for doing that. Thank you very much for it, okay? It's good when a family of God ministers to each other. Y'all have a blessed day. Thank you.
Thank you, brother. Amen. Amen.
That's just hallelujah. I'm sorry. I got out of control there for a second. Oh, man. Thank you, Joe, for sharing that, because we really have been praying for Miss Joyce. What an awesome God. Praise God. And Cindy is a little under the weather today, but she is the mastermind of those cards. The kids, she doesn't do anything halfway. And so they painted and they folded and they cut and they, it was just awesome. Isaac, we were just hearing how blessed the people who got your cards were to get them. So thank you, kids, for doing that artwork. And Cindy for diligently getting it out there to them. And another praise report. Today, God has been so good to our new great-granddaughter, Maggie Sue, up in Alabama. We found out that finally they've taken the feeding tube out. I just got the email from her. And that means in the last 24 hours, she's been able to eat everything she needed from a bottle, which is very close to being able to go home. So praise God for that. And I'm wearing my disaster relief shirt today because I was supposed to wear it on Mother's Day, but I didn't feel like coming to Mother's Day dressed like this. So I just want you to all be praying as we train. We had a training at the beginning of May over at Stetson Baptist Church. And just pray for those people that are doing the trainings. I didn't realize the same people have to go to all 5 Florida trainings. So they're on the road for like 6 weeks doing all that training. And also pray for us as we get ready to go out if there is a disaster, that the Lord will provide all the materials and equipment and people that are needed to do this big job, because it really is a big job. And it means so much to the people that are in the middle of a disaster that someone loves them enough to come and help them with an overwhelming job. I don't know if you've ever had a hurricane or a flood or a fire, but you can't do it by yourself. You all know, you just can't do it by yourself. So praise God that there are folks willing and able to come out and do that. Just keep praying for them. Thank you.
Are there any other announcements? Yes, sir, Brother Tom.
Next Saturday, the bike trail will be officially set up. They're going to cut the ribbon.
Yes, sir.
And the Gideons are giving out Bibles and everything on the trail on the
Oh, yes.
10:30, you can park at the Methodist Church.
Right. That doesn't mean you become Methodist, but Archie said you can fill that parking lot up and come over there and park at the church. So that'd be an exciting time. There are people be riding bikes on part of the trail. You had to sign up for that and pay $30 to get a reservation to get in. So there's going to be a lot of people. The news media is going to be out there and finally connecting these trails. So keep that in mind. That's going to happen this Saturday.
The ribbon cutting, there's no charge.
That's right, right.
Only for the people on the bike trail.
On the bike trail, right. All right.
What they say, 100 and some miles of bike trail?
Yeah.
All the way down to Orange City and over towards the beach, too.
So we can go ride and have fun, Tom, okay? Let me know when you're ready, all right? All right. Right out your door. We're going to sing He Keeps Me Singing. It's hymn 435 in the white hymnal. 435, we'll sing the first and the fifth verse. We'll sing the first and the last verse, verse 1 and verse 5. He Keeps Me Singing. Go ahead and stand to your feet. You've been sitting long enough. I got to get you up moving around, all right? First and fifth verse, He Keeps Me Singing. And the first. Here we go.
There's within my heart a melody. Jesus whispers sweet and low. Fear not, I am with thee, peace be still. In all of love's ebb and flow. Jesus, 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 sweetest name I know, fills my every longing, keeps me singing as I go. On the fifth verse, soon he's coming back to welcome me, far beyond the starry sky. I shall wing my flight to worlds unknown. I shall reign with him on high. Sing out now. Jesus, 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 sweetest name I know, fills my every longing, keeps me singing as I go.
Thank you. You can be seated. And in that same book, we'll find hymn number 337, The Solid Rock. Jesus is our solid rock. 337, my hope is built. We'll sing the first and the fourth verse, 1 and 4.
My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. I dare not trust the sweetest frame, but wholly lean on Jesus' name. On Christ's solid rock I stand, all other ground is sinking sand. All other ground is sinking sand.
On the fourth,
when he shall come with trumpet sound, oh, may I then in him be found, dressed in his righteousness alone, faultless to stand before the throne. On Christ's solid rock I stand, all other ground is sinking sand. All other ground is sinking sand.
All right, so far so good. 404, the song is Tell It to Jesus, and that's what we'll do. We'll tell it to Jesus. He's a friend that's well known. Hymn number 404, Tell It to Jesus. We'll sing the first and the fourth verse. Here we go.
Are you weary? Are you heavy hearted? Turn it to Jesus. Turn it to Jesus. Are you grieving over joys departed? Turn it to Jesus alone. Turn it to Jesus. Turn it to Jesus. He is a friend that's well known. You've no other, such a friend or brother. Turn it to Jesus alone. On the fourth, are you troubled at the thought of dying? Turn it to Jesus. Turn it to Jesus. For Christ's coming, kingdom are you sighing? Turn it to Jesus alone. Turn it to Jesus. Turn it to Jesus. He is a friend that's well known. You've no other, such a friend or brother. Turn it to Jesus alone.
Hymn number 254, Leaning on the Everlasting Arms. We'll sing all three verses. On the first verse, what a fellowship.
What a fellowship, what a joy divine, leaning on the everlasting arms. What a blessedness, what a peace is mine, leaning on the everlasting arms. Leaning, leaning, safe and secure from all alarms. Leaning, leaning, leaning on the everlasting arms.
Verse 2.
Oh, how sweet to walk in this pilgrim way, leaning on the everlasting arms. Oh, how bright the path grows from day to day, leaning on the everlasting arms. Lean on Jesus, lean on Jesus, safe and secure from all alarms. Lean on Jesus, lean on Jesus, leaning on the everlasting arms. What have I to dread? What have I to fear? Leaning on the everlasting arms. I'll have blessed peace with my Lord so near. Leaning on the everlasting arms. Leaning, leaning, safe and secure from all alarms. Leaning, leaning, leaning on the everlasting arms.
All right, we have one more we'd like to sing, like for you to sing. Hymn 490. We'll sing all four verses on Jordan's Stony Banks. Verse 1.
Oh, in Jordan's stormy banks I stand, cast a wishful eye to Canaan's fair and happy land, where my possessions lie. I am bound for the promised land. I am bound for the promised land. Oh, who will come and go with me? I am bound for the promised land.
Second verse.
All of those wide extended plains, and one eternal day, there by the sun forever rains and scatters night away. I am bound for the promised land. I am bound for the promised land. Oh, will you come and go with me? I am bound for the promised land. On verse 3. No chilling winds nor poisonous breath can reach that healthful shore. Sickness and sorrow, pain and death are felt and feared no more. I am bound for the promised land, I'm bound for the promised land. Oh, will you come and go with me? I am bound for the promised land. On the fourth verse. When shall I reach that happy place and be forever blessed? When shall I see my Father's face and in His bosom? Well, sing out now. I am bound for the promised land. I'm bound for the promised land. Oh, will you come and go with me? I am bound for the promised
I'd like for you to open the Bible to Luke, the Gospel of Luke, and that would be chapter 12. Luke chapter 12, and these are going to be the words of Jesus Christ in verses 11 and 12. So that's chapter 12 of Luke, the Gospel of Luke, Matthew, Mark, Luke. In the New Testament. These are some encouraging words that Jesus shared with his disciples, his apostles, because they were facing a challenge to tell the world who Jesus was. And so he had something very, very important to tell them. And not only is it for them, but it's for us as well, as we're followers of Christ. And it tells us these words. Again, this is Luke chapter 12, verse 11 and verse 12. These are the words of Jesus. Now, when they bring you to the synagogues and magistrates and authorities, do not worry about how or what you should answer or what you should say. For the Holy Spirit will teach you in that very hour what you ought to say. Let's pray together. Well, Father, we come to you, Lord, and pray that you'll help us in this moment, Lord, because we've come to worship you. We've come to lift you up. We've come to hear your words. We've come to know exactly what you want us to do and how we should do it. We thank you for loving us. We thank you for everybody that's here, Lord, and everybody has a reason to be here, Lord, and may you utilize your spirit today in this worship and the music that we've sung, the fellowship that we've had, and the preaching that's going to take place right now, Lord, and I pray that you'll use me today with your word. Fill me with your Holy Spirit and to say the things that you would have me to say, Lord. Thank you for forgiving me of my sins, and thank you for blessing me and calling me to serve you. Help me to serve and to serve well. And it's in Jesus' wonderful name we pray. Amen. Back when I was in high school, I had the intentions of being a commercial artist at one time. And so I was in Fort Lauderdale High School, big school. They had all kinds of classes to take and to study on art and drawing, and this was pre-computer. So everything we drew was by hand. Nowadays, any of you could be an artist. Do you know that? There's websites, there's apps where you could go and draw, and you can have the assistance of others, and it's amazing what today you can create using a generation, this generation of computers and software that are available. Back then, in the golden oldie days, that's when we did everything by hand. And anytime we got a project, we always had to ask the right words or come up with the right questions as to who, what, when, where, and why. And, you know, you can just fill it in. And what we had to do was to take that as our structure to design what we were trying to say to get our message across in the way of a commercial. And we were working on television commercials. We were working on print commercials with pictures as well as a message in words. So we always had to fill in those blanks. Always had to have the right words to get the attention of the people and to get the message across. And that's what we had to do. And so Jesus is telling us that he's going to let us have the correct words, the right words that'll get the message across, because we will be filled with his Holy Spirit. Have you ever played the game Truth or Dare, or Truth or Consequences? How many know what that game is? Any of y'all know? Any of y'all? Well, I'm going to tell you how it works. Somebody would offer you a challenge and turn to you and say, Truth or Dare, or Truth or Consequences, and then the thing was, whatever they challenged you with, you had to do. Now, to lay the groundwork for this, I volunteered for 6 years riding on a school bus every week during football season. I traveled with the band, and I would be the announcer for the band at halftime when they were performing. I'd say, welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to la 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 la, and I'd rattle off the songs and the specials and anything that was involved with the band. I was the narrator at halftime, and I did this for years and volunteered and went and helped out and had a blast. I enjoyed it and had a great time. And one particular night, as we were coming back, we were on the bus with a bunch of teenage kids, the bus driver and myself, and they were kind of giddy. They won the football game. We're coming home. And all of a sudden, one of the teenage girls turns to another teenage girl. They're about 16, 17 years old. I think one was a junior and one was a senior. And she just blurts out, you know, everybody can hear. And she turns to the other girl and she says, Truth or Dare? And then she had to pause for a minute to think what she wanted. And she said, Dare. And the girl turns and says, I dare you to kiss Mr. Knight right on his cheek. And I'm in that school bus going, what? Teenage girl, you nut, you crazy nut. What are you doing that for? Next thing I know, the other girl walks up and goes, mwah, and lays one on my cheek. And then they said, we have to apologize, Mr. Knight. We just set you up. I said, you set me up? Yes. Because what we really wanted to do was thank you for the years you've been on this bus. You've helped us. You put up with us. I knew those kids since they were in elementary growing up. I was a pastor of the church, and I helped out at the school. And she said, so you know what? I mean, I was mortified. I was like, what? I don't want nobody kissing me, because I wasn't, and sometimes not even today, not very demonstrative. But they said, we just wanted to thank you. So, guess what? I have for you today. I have a dare. I'm going to dare you to do something. In fact, I'm going to go a little bit farther, and I'm going to double dog dare you. All right? You know, you've heard that before, right? I'm going to double dog dare you to do something, and it's going to be entirely up to you if you will have what it takes to take on this challenge. And I double dog dare you to say this in a prayer. Lord, speak through me. That's your dare. You think you'll take it? Will you do it now, today, sometime as you think about it? I dare you to pray, Lord, speak through me. Because that's a serious thing. And it's also a promise. Because the question is, do you know how to respond to anybody who asks you questions about what and whom you believe in and about your faith? Do you know the who, the what, the when, the where, the why? Do you know all those things? Can you respond for anybody who asks you? You know, the Bible makes it very clear that we need to be ready at all times if anybody would ever ask us about why we believe what we do and why we go to church and why we read the Bible, why we pray, why we tell others about Jesus. Would you be able to answer any questions? Sometimes what I found in the past is when somebody asked a church member a difficult question, they always had a similar catchphrase. Go talk to the preacher. Send them off to me and say, go talk to the preacher. I'll bring the preacher over to your house and he can answer your questions. But do you know how to respond? Would you and could you, do you know how to lead another person to the salvation of Jesus Christ? Do you know how, if somebody were to come to you, as the Bible says, and ask you to explain to them the hope that is within you, could you answer their question? And some people get extremely worrisome and fretful. They say, I don't want anybody, you know, I don't know if I can handle that. But the question is, do you know how to do it? Because what Jesus is saying here, he says, don't worry about what you're going to say or what you're going to speak. And he actually says, in your defense is what he's saying here. Or what you're to say, because this is what's going to take place. He says, because the Holy Spirit will teach you what to say in that very hour, in that very moment. God's Holy Spirit is going to be with you. Can you do that? Can you defend your beliefs? Can you tell somebody how they can come to Jesus Christ? Well, here's a couple things I want you to know. First thing is this. Now listen closely. It is not your responsibility to convict anybody of their sins. Can I hear an amen? Amen? Because one of the sad things that happen in church a lot of times is we become so righteous in our lifestyle that we point a finger at somebody else and begin to criticize them for the way they live. In fact, just a couple of weeks ago, I was talking to a young man about coming to church. You know what he said to me? He said he couldn't come because he enjoyed drinking. Now, Frank, how would you respond to that? You know what I asked him? I seriously asked him, is that worth an eternity without Christ? Well, that just came to my mind. I didn't think about how to respond to him. I did lovingly, but I didn't point a finger at him. I wasn't trying to convict him. I just asked him the question, is that really worth it? Is that really worth it? You take that junk over an eternity with Jesus Christ? You take all that instead of coming and worshiping and fellowship in God's house? Can you answer people's questions? But yes, you can, because you got the power of the Holy Spirit, but it is not your job to convict them. And a lot of times that's what people outside the church are expecting us to do, come along and browbeat them with our Bible about their lifestyle choices. and about their sin. And it's true, the gospel points us to our sins, but that's not our job. We're not out there to just claim and get on people and convict them. That's not our job, because you know why? That's the job of God's Holy Spirit, because you can't do it. And you shouldn't do it. And you shouldn't attempt to do it. You should let God do it through His Holy Spirit. And He can speak to you through that process, but we have to be careful how that takes place. So that's the first thing you need to notice and realize, is that it's not your job to convict people of their sins. The Holy Spirit will do it. And secondly, what you need to know and understand is that the Holy Spirit can and will speak through you. In a very simple way, how does that happen? Well, you stay prayed up, you stay read up, you keep reading God's Word, you stay within His will, and you can't help yourself. I had a leader of a church tell me one thing. He once made a quick comment to me. He says, "You know how you can tell you're saved?" I said, "Well, it looks like you're going to tell me." He says, when you lead somebody to Jesus Christ, you can be guaranteed you're saved. Let me tell you that is incorrect. That is incorrect. Because all you're doing is bringing them to the point to where they can come to Christ through the Holy Spirit. And this gentleman was trying to tell me, it's like we kind of get credit, and if, you know, that's the proving point, that if you lead somebody else to Jesus Christ, that that's a guarantee you're going to go to heaven. No, the guarantee you got to heaven is the blood that was spilled on Calvary to cover your sins, and you ask Him to forgive you of your sins. That's it. You fall under that conviction, and you come to Jesus and say, "Lord, I'm so sorry for my sin. Please help me not to be a sinner. Please, Lord, help me in that way." That's how we come to know Christ. So, the Holy Spirit can and will work within you to tell others about Jesus Christ. And don't try to convict them, and don't think that you can just win them over. It's got to be through His Holy Spirit. It's got to be. So, you know what we need to do? We need to be praying. We need to be praying as sincere Christians that we should say, "Lord, help me to speak to another person, to other people, as You would." Not so much for me. It's not pushing my agenda. But Lord, what is it that You want to use me as a catalyst of telling others about You? And let me tell you, if you open yourself up to that, things will change in your life. Literally, you need to ask the Lord to give you the words, His words to say. Now, it's not like somebody's coming over you, or that. It's that the Holy Spirit lives within you. And if you've allowed your life to be filled with the words of God, and if you spend time in prayer with Him, it's going to just come as natural as can be. And that's what the Scripture teaches, that the Holy Spirit will guide you. I can't tell you the numerous times I've been talking to somebody that absolutely wasn't planned. I didn't set out on my day to do that, but I came across somebody. And I'm like, what am I going to say? How am I going to approach this situation? What's going to take place? And it's absolutely amazing to me what takes place when you willingly give yourself over to the Lord. And I tell you, there have been times when I've been talking to people where all of a sudden, Scriptures just started flowing like water out of a picture. And it wasn't even verses in the Bible that I, you know, dutifully took away a while to try and memorize it. It's just like the words of God just flowed out. In fact, on one particular occasion, we were a group of people, and I began to testify and talk to somebody else who was a stranger. And others were listening. I wasn't trying to show off or not. And when we got done, one of the Christians came up to me and said, "Man, you're brilliant." Said, you memorize so much Scripture. He goes, "How do you do that?" And I said, "That wasn't me. That was me being used as a vessel for God's Holy Spirit." And I said, "Mind you now, I have read the Bible. I have studied the Bible. I endeavor every day to read the Word of God and to pray every day of my life on several occasions. I do that. I don't just wait for some special moment. I do it all day long." He says, "Pray without ceasing." And our prayer should be, "Lord, use me. Give me the words to say." Well, you have to, you know, take time to fill yourself with that stuff. You don't go out on a job without skills and talents. You go out there with skill and talent. You know, you've got to have those skills. You've got to be able to do your job. And when you go out witnessing, your skills are going to be the time you spent in God's Word, studying it, and the time you spent praying to Him and talking to God. Yeah, I don't know about you, but it's a joy to talk to God every day. Amen? It's a joy. And we ought to make that our habit because that's what He wants. So here's what I can tell you today, brother or sister. If you are walking with God, and if you genuinely want to tell others about Jesus Christ and you open yourself up to Him, I can promise you this. He can and He will speak through you, and He will give you exactly the words to say at that time. That's why He told them, don't worry. If you have to go before a magistrate, how many would you like to have to go to court today to explain and defend yourself as to why you're a Christian? In fact, I used to carry a little business card around, and on it it says, is there enough evidence to convict you in a court of law to prove that you're a Christian? And I give that to people, and they go, oh, I hope that never happens to me. Well, it might. And maybe not in the courtroom, but in everyday life and people that you encounter, there are going to be people who have questions. There are people who are going to challenge you. There are going to be people who are going to ask you, and the Bible makes it very clear, it's very implicit about this. It says somebody will recognize you, will observe you, will scrutinize your life, and at some point they may come to you and say, how in the world do you have it all together? Why are you happy? Why do you seem like you got your act together? What is your hope? And the Bible says you ought to be ready at all times to answer that question. I don't know if that's ever happened to you. It's happened to me multiple times. And people say, oh, man, you know, I can't believe it. Why? And I tell them it's because of Jesus. And there's been times when I thought I was speechless and just flabbergasted at what God has done through me through His Holy Spirit. Not that I'm anybody special, but I have committed myself to Him. And you should as well do the same thing. So did you catch my double dog dare? Have you taken it as a challenge? Are you considering it when I say to you, I dare you to say, Jesus, speak through me. Because He really wants to. He wants you to be a catalyst and to use you in your life to tell somebody else about Jesus. But maybe you don't have a story to tell. Maybe you don't know how you became a Christian, or if you are a Christian. You maybe can't recall when it took place. I was talking to somebody in their 90s, and they said, you know, brother, I hate to admit it, but there's some things I can't remember. I said, you know, join the club. Can I have an amen? There's some things I can't. And she said to me, I'm hard-pressed to remember that exact moment. But I know the result. I am saved. Went on to say, couldn't even remember the day that she was baptized. And she wished she could. But somewhere in the course of time and aging, some memories were gone. But not the lingering effect. And not the truth. She knew she belonged to Jesus. And I dare you today to say, Lord, speak through me. Because He's given us the promise that He will. And in those times, if you will genuinely seek out the Lord and ask Him, He'll use you for His glory and for His kingdom. And so that's my message today. Would you take the dare? And maybe if you haven't already said, you may have already said it right now, speak through me. Well, you better watch out. Today at lunch, today out and about, somebody may come up to you and say, hey, I've been meaning to ask you something. And that's when you say, oh boy, help me, Jesus. And He will. He will. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, will You help us? And will You do exactly what ask Him here today, Lord, that You'll speak through us? And Lord, if necessary, make it possible. If somebody here says they can't speak up for You because they've never spoken to You,
They've never called out your name. They've never prayed to you. They've never sought salvation. You just let the world pass by and forget what's important and what's necessary. And Lord, if there's somebody here who needs to make a decision for you so that they can speak to you on a regular basis and be with you for all of eternity and have their sins forgiven and know a peace that passes all human understanding, I pray, Lord, that today could be the day that they take another time to pray and just say, Lord, save me, forgive me, make me a part of your family, make me a part of your kingdom. And Lord, if somebody needs to make that decision today, don't let that person hesitate to follow through and let your spirit deal with them. You're speaking to them now, Lord, and let your spirit work. And Lord, for those of us who know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, I pray that you'll help us to take on this challenge. Because we've got a lost and dying world, we've got a confused world, we've got a crazy world, a hurting world, a world that's falling apart because we've walked away from that which is important. We've walked away from Jesus. So lead us now, Father, to do as you call us to do. And it's in Jesus' wonderful name we pray. Amen. I'm going to ask you to stand to your feet. And if you have that song book, the white hymn book, turn to hymn number 187, if you'd stand. Song you probably know well, Just As I Am. And if God is leading you to come forward to this altar for whatever need, to pray, to seek Jesus, to offer this prayer, Lord, speak through me. The altar is open for you to come. Please don't hesitate. Come on the very first sound of Just As I Am. On the first verse. Just as I am without end, but that I bleed was shed for me, I'm bound, thou bearest me unto thee. Oh, of God I come, as I am waiting out to heal my soul, oh, and applaud to the hero's blood can cleanse the spirit of mine. Of God I on the third verse. Just as I am, the tossed about, with me a conflict never doubt, fightings with hate and fears will wear. Let's bow our heads together as we go. If you got any need or need anything from the pastor, please don't hesitate. Let me know. Let's bow our heads together as we pray together. Brother Joe, would you close us in prayer, please, sir?